All right, hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Matty B, and back after a layoff, Rick David. I don't even know when the last time you were on. Rick is making us run late today because he couldn't find his laptop and it was in his car. Any words on that, Rick?
Mostly I do use this for work purposes as well, too. So this is a work and personal laptop. So I use it for work. I left it in the bag that left in the car. That's my excuse. So I'm going to stick with it. So I'm a hardworking man. I got to put food on the table, you know, feed the family, you know, raise a nice family in the suburbs, 2-car garage. I don't really have anything. I'm done.
Typical Buccos fan there. You buy your playoff tickets yet?
No, I was too busy waiting for the game to get rained out today, which everybody and their brother saw coming. But don't worry, doubleheader tomorrow, folks.
All right, we'll get to them in a second. Before we kick off high tempo, Matt, I wanted to give you a chance to apologize. Like we talked about, you were a little too excited over the Seminoles last week, and I just wanted you to temper your expectations. Willie Taggart has never even won a bowl game. A sub 500 coach. What else did I say? Did he even beat a ranked team ever? So I just wanted you to give you a chance, Matt, to clear that up for us.
Oh, please. I think when you look at where he started at with Western Kentucky, a traditional power, and then going on to USF that was a power, you know, he had to build those programs up, and he never stayed long enough to get himself entrenched. I mean, I would expect you to pick up on that knowing what a good second place team is, being the second place team every year in your own division, not even in the conference, just in your own division. So I would expect nothing less from a Michigan man. But, you know, I think you do have to go in somewhat with Florida State as a the expectations have to be a little bit tempered. They are losing quite a bit this year to the draft upcoming. And for as optimistic as I like to be about some of the changes that are happening, there's reason to show some optimism. You know, when you look, one of the big things that I've seen recently that Florida State has made the fan base really excited is bringing Bobby Bowden back, and some of the alumni are really rallying around him. They made a big point with all that being said, and I think that is important. However, when you look back, Jimbo replaced Bobby Bowden. And when Jimbo replaced Bobby Bowden, it wasn't like Bobby left under the best of circumstances. You know, the program was kind of on a downward slide and people were negatively recruiting. So it's tough when you're building your own recruiting base and saying, I'm different than the guy who's currently here, to then continue to bring them around and have all of this extra stuff. I think enough time has passed where the transition and the way that Fisher left for A&M has left the program where Taggart can now pull in the guys like Bobby Bowden, Mickey Andrews, some of the older players like Deion Sanders are more willing to come back and embrace the newer things of the coach because of how maybe in building the program back to where it needed to be, Jimbo Fisher alienated a lot of the alumni and things like that. I don't know. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
I was just busting balls, to be honest. Don't really care about the Seminoles. Rick?
You should.
It's great to see Bobby Bowden back. The Seminole fans love it. It's nostalgia days.
It reminds me of Penn State, huh? A little bit about that. They're going to put a statue up?
I don't believe that. They won't tell you where that statue is even. So that's how good they're hiding where it is to hidden in State College. No, but I mean, it is good to bring back. It's like the Pirates. Every year we got to reminisce about the 1979 team. I mean, I'm wearing a Montreal Expos hat. Every year they play a preseason game there before the season starts and it sells out because people want to remember the Expo days and they bring out people. And look at they brought Toronto in because they have Vlad Guerrero Jr. So they were trying to bring back nostalgia. They're trying to sell tickets. That's what it all comes down to. It's all money. And they know they equal money. Bowden equals money.
All right. Did you have a real high tempo this week, Matt?
Well, I did, but before I get into that, I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but watching A&M's spring game, I had a laugh. half, the very first play, the quarterback drops back, sack. Just like reminiscent of all of last year and the frustration. So, case I didn't touch, you're for a treat, Alabama or A&M. But my actual high tempo for this week was just thinking about some of the bias that we've talked about here. As far as looking at the different quarterbacks, I know we're probably going to get into this a little bit later on the show, but a lot of talk has been made about Lamar Jackson and where he will quickly pan out. But the interesting thing is that for as much as multiple, you know, sports programs talk bash Lamar Jackson, it was interesting now that with Bill Belichick taking an interest in him and with having the extra draft picks and means of jumping up into the draft, now that the talk that Belichick's interested in him has all these pundits now spinning on their heads saying, well, if he's going to do it, imagine what Lamar Jackson's going to do if he gets drafted by New England. And it completely just spins it on its head that now it goes from, well, he can't be a good quarterback in the league to, well, in the right system, anything's possible. It just I hate the flip-flopping.
Yeah, there's clear flip-flopping, and you won't see me doing that on Sam Darnold. So, Rick, you have any high tempo this week?
One of the top five things to come out of Pittsburgh in the past, like, 60 years, Bruno Sammartino did pass away at 82 years old. Here are some of the crazy stats with him. He sold out Madison Square Garden 188 times, held a belt for 7.5 years, and held it for a total of, let me get the number right here, it's 2,803 days. Before he lost it. So he had 7.5 years. He was a champion. First time ever, two-time WWE champion. So at that time, WWF. So, and he's one of only two, he's the only person ever to headline Shea Stadium twice. So,
wait.
And Shea Stadium, you can never do it again because it's torn down. It's now a parking lot.
I'm sorry, I'm confused on this. You said within the past 5 years he came out of Pittsburgh?
50 years. Past 50 years, one of the best five things. Or five people, you could even say.
That threw me off. I must have misheard you. And then you were talking about, I didn't even know who the hell he was, dude, until you mentioned WWE. And then I thought, that doesn't sound like Hulk Hogan's name.
Bruno. He's the greatest wrestling hit of all time.
Whoa.
All time, because
Andre
that
the Giant. Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan commercialized.
Undertaker.
Undertaker, what? Everybody always says Undertaker. You look at some of the matches he had, I could have did them better. Come on.
Rick, he won like 30 WrestleManias in a row. Probably undersold that. Let's say 130.
Yeah. It was 30, but true. But, I mean, he beat, like, nobodies. You look at some of the ones, he beat, like, nobodies. He beat, like, the Big Boss Man twice, which was a guaranteed win every time.
Didn't he beat Kane?
I mean, the amount of time. What?
Didn't he beat Kane?
I think he beat Kane twice. Twice. And Kane's now running for a mayor. He's not even showing up to wrestling anymore.
He beat him into politics.
Hey, Jesse Ventura did the same thing.
True, but Jesse Ventura was also a Navy SEAL before he became a wrestler. And he was in Predator.
Was he?
He was.
I don't know
he
Jesse Ventura facts other than that one. I didn't even know. I know his nickname's The Body.
Yeah. Yeah, he still wants to know about Area 51. He still wants to know the truth about 9/11. And I think he's also a dual citizen with this country of Finland, of all places. Because when American politics makes him mad, he moves to Finland. Whatever. But yeah, Bruno Sammartino, 188 times. No one will ever do that again. So.
Wait.
But it's sad that he passed
188
away.
188 wins in fake wrestling, Rick.
188 times he sold out Madison Square Garden.
Oh. Wait, by himself?
He was the headliner every
With
time.
Him headliner.
Oh, he was wrestling.
Headliner.
I didn't know if he was like giving headliner. Motivational speeches or something in his later years.
No, that most of that was during that 7.5 year run.
He could have been a comedian. I don't know what he's doing.
No, he went to commentating wrestling for I think USCW after he retired. And he was trying to help out his one son get in. David? I think it's David. Yeah, so he mostly stayed off the side in the '90s.
All right, we better change the subject before I get a ton of hate mail. I'm already going to get torn apart on this episode and last episode. All right, getting into the Steel City update. Pirates, the sinking ship. I called it. It's happening. Where do they? Who gets swept by the Phillies of all teams? Phillies have the lowest payroll of any team out there, and Pirates didn't even put up a fight. Luckily, the Pirates do play the Tigers this week, so that win total will kind of get reinflated a little bit before they get a series with the Cards. Rick, what are your thoughts on that? Since you haven't been here to talk much baseball, Pirates,
everybody
definitely sell.
You sell for the current spot, but you got to see what they do in the division too. They really haven't played a lot of division games, so they've done a lot of interleague games, but not a lot of, you know, they haven't played the Brewers yet this year. So, it's like the interleague that when they play division, it's going to be better. But Cincinnati's so bad, so I mean, they're clinched last place, firing their manager. By the way, I called that in a couple, but like right before I went to spring training, I said first manager will be fired will be Brian Price. He did get fired. So, I mean, they're still good for right now for fourth place or higher. So, just see what the rest of the division does.
Is that why you traded your hat, your Reds hat for that Expos hat?
Oh, no. I knew Price was getting fired. I didn't understand why they kept him this year. I would have fired him at the end of last year. You could see that.
There's room on that St. Louis bandwagon.
We don't need another Jeffrey here just changing teams every week. Rick.
Whatever. You guys can say on trade team. But here's the thing. I mean, the Cardinals have problems already. Wainwright's on the DL for a second time this year. So that's definitely a problem. Carpenter's not as good as he was years ago. And I mean, I don't know about them. So I'm not sold on the Cardinals.
First place.
In April. I mean, that's like saying you're a 2-0 football team.
Well, yes, because in football that matters. In baseball, you play 9,000 games. You just roll right into spring training the next year.
Wait, that reminds me. I did text Rick. I said, how many games do you think Pirates need to win to make the playoffs? He said 90, I think. And then I said, 78 more to go, even though they lost four in a row.
Because you look at the other teams, they're all blowing it. Nobody's really running away doing half decent right now. In the NL, you could make fun of the Phillies. They're 14-7 right now after all those wins, and they got a young team. They have a bunch of prospects.
True, because they were the other team. Division with the Marlins, too.
Yeah, and you look at them. They did something the Braves then copied. You know, they took the Astros model, and they sold out everybody, and now they're making a run. So, and you look at their run differential. They're one of the best in the National League. They have 33 wins. No, I think the Gabe Kapler experiment of I manage what a computer tells me is eventually going to blow up in their face when they start having late inning games. But, I mean, you look at some of these teams, they're just tanking. Washington's bad. I mean, Dodgers are 11-10, and Kershaw, I only think he has 2 wins this year. I think he's 1-3. I mean, a lot of teams are just playing bad baseball right now.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying it comes down between the Pirates and the Cardinals?
I'm still thinking Cubs if they can figure out how to hit the ball. They got to hit better. Rizzo's not hitting good. So, yeah, but they did blow out Cleveland today, so that does help.
All right, Matt, what are your thoughts? When do they play? Will it be over? Will that series be over by the time we do the show next week?
Yes. They should end on Sunday.
So if the Pirates beat the Cardinals, I should talk with a Pirate accent all next show? Would that annoy you, Matt?
Yes, it would definitely annoy me.
You swashbuckler. All right, so
I'll shoot down your Jolly Roger, sir.
Let's hope that happens. All right, let's get into it's NFL draft week, and I put this above the Penguins. I figured we'd talk about the Penguins the longest, so I saved them to last. There was a clip going around of Josh Rosen. Let me look at it. They were asking him questions about he's not looking. Look, the Browns are number one pick. The rumors are they're either going to take, who was it? Baker Mayfield?
Darnold.
Or Sam Darnold.
Darnold.
And they were asking Josh Rosen how he felt because no matter who they pick, it looks like Rosen's going to be the number two, which is kind of weird because I think the only team that would pick Mayfield that high would be the Browns. So they asked him the question, and he just came out firing. And I'll send this out on our Twitter. But the main points were he rattled off a bunch of quarterbacks that were rated ahead of him in recruiting sites. And there were, he was like, look, at the Elite 11, they didn't think I was going to be the top quarterback. And he named a bunch of guys and was like, they were going to be all drafted ahead of me, but I don't see them here, which I thought was hilarious. So I definitely gained some respect for him. And again, I'll be sending that out. But I'd like to get your thoughts, Matt, as a quarterback guy. What are your thoughts on Rosen? He played in a system. Now, he did have a new offensive coordinator. The only reason I know that is because they hired Michigan's passing game coordinator, Jed Fish, this past year. So he did have that transition, which, you know, as a quarterback guy, that could mess you up. What are your thoughts on him going into the NFL?
Well, I think, you know, like we've talked about before, if you have the right coach that's willing to match what you, and because I have been very high on him with the limited film that I've had access to with him, I've kind of just been looking at some of the other quarterbacks. But I think if, as a GM, looking at this from that perspective, if you worked out with him and you had that chance to have the conduct the personal interview, and you feel confident that it's him just being confident and shooting down these people, then by all means, take him. But I think the thing that you got to watch is for someone being confident and cocky, and if he can't back the kind of comments that he shot off, can be the kind of things in an NFL locker room that can really fracture a team. And the one thing that you definitely want to put your money on is that when you're taking a quarterback, that they have the ability to be a leader and take control. Because single-handedly, if you don't have a quarterback that can handle the offense and handle your team as a leader, if they're not strong enough to do it, the rest of your team ends up turning into a bunch of cliques. And I think that's a risk in taking someone that's willing to go off on social media and in live press interviews, knowing that it's going to get out nationally and say the kinds of things that he came out and said.
Yeah, I'm looking at him. And I kind of had him in the middle pack. I don't even know if we talked about him. I wasn't sure. I don't really like, to be honest, quarterbacks from the Pac-12. They're not as open as what the Big 12 is, but they just don't see the type of defenses that you see in the NFL. And for every quarterback you get, you're going to have an Aaron Rodgers every decade or so that really turns it on for every Joey Harrington. Guys that are just not in the league anymore. I could name every other Oregon quarterback, Dennis Dixon, other guys that were really highly touted Pac-12 guys that they just don't pan out. So that's my reservation on him. Unfortunately for him, he doesn't play on one of the more talented teams. So in the Pac-12, what you have is you have teams like USC or Oregon that just had more talent than everyone else in the conference. So you really didn't get to see them up against tougher competition. The thing that's in his favor is he's from UCLA, where kind of like Aaron Rodgers, I think, was from Cal, where if you do come from the Pac-12, you come from one of the smaller schools, you're actually going to be playing some of those tougher competitions. So they do have the game film on him. Looks like he can make all the throws. They did compete with Texas A&M. That was a back-and-forth affair. It just slipped my mind if who came back on who. A shootout game. So he was able to get points in that game. And I just don't think he's a top 10 pick, but I could easily see him being a quality pick in the second round, I would say. I did want to bring that up. I know you talked about Lamar Jackson, Matt, and real quick, my point on that, or my counterpoint, it's just tough to go with predominantly running quarterbacks. It doesn't matter. It just takes me back to even the Steve Young days. You get a running quarterback, there's a chance he's going to get hit, career over. And all the guys that have come from a system like that, I was trying to put through a list of pure running quarterbacks or similar. Who's still in the league that's been drafted like that? Cam Newton? I mean, and look how big he is compared to a Lamar Jackson. I look at RG3. Can Lamar Jackson have an RG3 type year where he's putting up points? Yeah. I honestly think he can. That talent is there. It's just the durability of these guys. So, and it's been a problem for like, when did Steve Young get that hit? 1998? That's been what, 20 years ago? Is it 20 or 30? 20 years? So that's what I'm coming from. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's a debate. The NFL starting to embrace more of the college spread schemes. I think when you look at what Philadelphia did through the course of the season with having, you know, arguably the franchise quarterback, one of the top 10 in the league, go down and then still be able to make your offense click with Nick Foles, I think that it shows that with the right system, you can make that work. And also, if you take one of these quarterbacks, if they fit your system, you know, I think one of the knocks is that they have Lamar Jackson as a scrambling quarterback, but there's a lot of the plays he hasn't had a lot. And I forget where I saw the statistic, but the majority of his longer runs or perceived scrambles were off of designed quarterback runs. You know, the times that he actually took off running on a called pass play, it was a relatively low percentage of those kinds of plays. And I think what you're going to see more in the NFL is they're going to put him in positions where he can be successful, where it'll be a zone read that he's shown that he's been able to do. And it's one of the reasons why Belichick's been is reportedly high on him, because when you play those kinds of systems and you have the read where the quarterback's either handing the ball off or pulling and throwing, you know, a dump pass over the middle, if he's shown that he can do it consistently in college, more than likely he can transition into it in the NFL.
Yeah, I forgot my man Tim Tebow. He also won a playoff game coming from a spread system, so shout out to him. He beat the Steelers though, so
I mean, It doesn't help his durability, but Marcus Mariota is another one that when he's healthy,
that's another point. When they're healthy, because that's the big thing. I think the thing that hurt RG3 was when you're saying about the design runs, he did well in those. It was whenever he would try to scramble. And in college, when you're used to scrambling, you're used to having a speed or another gear that these guys don't have. So when you're getting knee injuries, it's because you're thinking, oh, I can make this run. Oh, wait, there's a guy right here getting a weird cut, because you're just used to having angles that in the NFL you don't have. So I don't know. I did have one other quarterback point, and then I'll let Rick add in here. The one thing that I had, and this is all my NFL stuff for the week, ESPN put up a comparison of, like, did you guys see this? It was like a quiz, another thing I'll send out there, looking blindly off stats and quarterback ratings. Who in this draft do the quarterbacks represent going back, like, what, 30 years or so? And the only quarterback, I just clicked through real fast, so I can't remember, but the only one that had an actual quality comparison for both of his quarterbacks, NFL guys, was Mason Rudolph, which is a name that we've heard for the Steelers. Mm-hmm. They're interested in taking him, and his stats actually match Ben Roethlisberger and Peyton Manning. The only guy that basically has two, if you're just going based off the numbers, he's the only guy that has the same measurables as two NFL Hall of Fame, basically, I would imagine Roethlisberger's in the discussion if he's not in already, quarterbacks. So just another thing to think about. He has the measurables. People are saying that he's like Ben Roethlisberger. I wasn't sure. I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago, and I said I didn't know if I would take him as high as the second round. But if you're going blindly off the numbers and you think he's going to fit the system, maybe the Steelers could jump up and take him. So I'll give you a chance here, Rick. Any thoughts on quarterbacks for this draft? You've been out. You've missed all our draft talk.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is here, too, you look at some of these teams that are going to be going after him. Cleveland's a building team. If Giants go after a quarterback, they're a team that's lost people on their offensive line. The Jets are just a mess. See the Browns. They're like another mess. I mean, Denver at least has a good defense. If they take a quarterback, at least they got something good there. And I think that's how it's helped certain players and hurt certain players. Roethlisberger's done good because they have had a good defense a lot of those years. So good defense always helps the offense. With the Eli pick, they ended up helping themselves out. You know, the Giants got him. They helped got some other pieces to the puzzle off that trade. So they got some other help. So they were able to build up quickly. They got help from old Eli's
daddy.
I mean, these... What?
They got help from Eli's daddy with that one. Don't let my son go there.
Well, here's the thing, too. You go to the... you look at the Chargers. They have had Phillip Rivers and what? How many playoff wins does he have? One or two? It's not many. It's, you know... So, I mean, you go to these teams and you're not going to be successful at first. If you go to a Browns or a Jets.
He had some guys, too. I know some people that are really high on him down here in Raleigh just because of his NC State connection. But he had teams with Antonio Gates and LaDainian Tomlinson. And he couldn't even advance far in the playoffs. So I know his numbers look good. But if you go to the eye test and like what he could have accomplished. Sorry to interrupt your route. I just had to.
Yeah, you're good. Yeah, and you're going to go through different parts of this draft. Maybe the top five teams, all five could drop, you know, with the Browns being in there twice. Giants, Jets, and Broncos. Then you're going to go to this section here where Tampa, Chicago, 49ers, Oakland, Miami, that may not, they're not going to think, you know, maybe Miami because they're stupid too. But, I mean, they're not going to think about, Buffalo's probably going to take a quarterback because I don't know what their future entails because they sent Taylor to Browns. But, I mean, there are so many teams, and the Cardinals may be looking at a quarterback since there's no more Palmer. And they got Sam Bradford, who's probably, you know, going to be injured by what? Week 3, 4, 5, 6? He'll be injured. So, because that's just his, you know, routine. So, I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, I would wait on a quarterback because so many quarterbacks have busted lately in the first round or been average. I mean, you, Matt, mentioned Mariota. I would say average. He's not been spectacular. And as what, a first overall? He's bombed in a way. RG3's bombed. Johnny Manziel's bombed out. I mean, there's so many bomb outs you could take. You're better off taking a guy who you think's going to be good in a way, like Chubb in a way, because everybody's saying, hey, this guy's going to be good. And DNs that have went top in the draft have been hits more than misses. So I'd rather see the Browns go take him, try to get a defense to stop the Steelers' offense and the Ravens, who are buying a lot of free agents right now.
Yeah, I agree with you, Rick. We've talked about it. I wish they would take Chubb. I think, could you imagine him and Myles Garrett? I think that's who their other D end is, like going wild.
Yes.
It would be outrageous. Uh-huh. It's almost
on a pass rush.
I made the comparison to J.J. Watt and Clowney. Clowney didn't get on early in the NFL, but still, they had to give him attention. Even his numbers didn't show it, they had to give him attention, which let J.J. Watt put up those Defensive Player of the Year numbers. So now you're having the Browns with that similar situation. Take Tyrod Taylor, have him be your quarterback for 1 year. Good God, Browns, do you have to have a new quarterback every single year? It just doesn't make sense for them to draft one. You got some good defensive pieces last year. Keep it going. Or last year, when was the draft? Did they get Garrett last year and Peppers? Is that what
yes.
So last maybe just year. Do that again. Do that again. Get 2-3 defensive guys and build up your defense, because you've seen it with the 49ers. You build up a great defense, and then look what happens. They're flipping quarterbacks halfway through the year and make it to the Super Bowl. Then you have the Broncos, who had a great defense, and right now they're still set up where all they need is a serviceable quarterback. It was to the point where an old, dead-armed Peyton Manning could win a Super Bowl with them. Peyton Manning, the guy that couldn't even throw the ball like 30 yards because he was so old. That's all they needed, a guy not to turn the ball over. So if the Browns can get to that point, that's how they have to turn their system around. And I don't see why they didn't do it, because if they're in their own division, when they lost their team and they moved to Baltimore, what did the Ravens do? They built a defense. I mean, they won with who? Trent Dilfer as their quarterback? So win with defense. The Browns, as any fans, and I'm not a fan of the Browns, and this, I love when the Steelers get 2 guaranteed wins a year, but come on, for their fans, for their sake, you just got to keep getting defense. If they get a quarterback, I'm just going to laugh so hard next week on the show. So that's my final thoughts on the NFL. Anything else you guys want to add in?
Well, I think the one thing you got to look at with these quarterbacks is if you see a run, there's a possibility that with teams needing quarterbacks like the Cardinals, you could throw New England in there with Brady being 40 and signing on to play this year. He's playing on borrowed time at this point. He's not going to play till he's 50.
Well, did you see that a Facebook special? It's Tom versus Time. Did I send you guys that yet?
Yes.
You said about it, but I don't like listening to your Michigan propaganda.
That's not Michigan. That's him. He was paying for advertising. Someone paid for that ad to be on my television. Tom versus Time, at least 5 times that night I sent it to you. I forget what I was even watching. It might have been the NHL playoffs. I can't remember. But I saw that commercial. They're actively promoting that as a show. So he has enough free time to do his own web series on Facebook or wherever it's going to be posted. So continue.
But I think, but those teams like New England and Arizona that need quarterbacks, they're gonna probably, depending on how the first 2 or 3 picks go, if you get a run where Cleveland takes Allen and the Giants take Darnold, people may panic and think that, you know, the quarterback that they have their eye on isn't going to be there. A early teen that may try to jump up further. And with these other teams that they can fall back 5-6 spots and still be able to take a quality player, I think you're going to see a lot more movement if you see a run on the quarterbacks early. So that's going to be something to watch, because plus, if looking dollars and cents, regardless of who these teams take that are in the bottom, you can still take a quarterback early. It's going to generate interest with the fan base. You're going to get jersey sales. You're going to get all the other promotions that come from drafting the potential future face of your franchise. And if you're lucky enough to get, you know, that Ben Roethlisberger type quarterback that you have for an extended period of time, now you have stability at one of the most important positions. So there's something to celebrate for those teams.
I would just hope it's not all about the celebrating and jersey sales for Browns at this point. Because you just go back through and see how many jerseys they sell. Who going all the way back to like 2002. Like, how many top guys have they brought in each year to sell jerseys, and then nothing. So, I mean, Rick, you were just up there. Did you go to that? You were there where they had the Browns parade.
You're right.
I was there couple weeks after the Browns parade. So, but I was outside the stadium. I could see why nobody wants to play there. It's freaking freezing there. And that was in like April and it's freezing. Just imagine what December is. No wonder nobody wants to go play there.
They're right
I'd be like right on the lake by town.
Lake effect snow. That's basically named for them.
Oh my God. It's like nonstop wind too, right there. It's like a wind tunnel. It's unbelievable.
But I think one of the things that's helping Cleveland now is that they have some stability in their front office, because a couple years, we were already focused on who the third and fourth picks were, because we already knew going in that who the player was going to be. But by them keeping a little bit tighter lipped, at least with the media, and not tipping their hand as to who they're drafting, I think it could produce better picks for them at 4, where they may end up being able to trade back and earn picks, people perceiving, you know, who they may want to go after, instead of just saying these are the teams to screw them over.
Yeah, I think what they should do from a gamesman point, since you brought that up, is draft Chubb first, then let the other teams get the pressure of picking the best quarterback. And then the Browns can take who's left, because then they can tell their fans, like, oh, sorry, we just took who was there. We had Darnold and whoever, Rosen, or who was the other one? Baker Mayfield on our board. If they're so high on Mayfield, why take him number one? No one else is even going to take him. Take Chubb, let someone else take Darnold, and then they can say, well, Darnold wasn't even there. We didn't think he was an overall number one. So if he kind of pans out, has a Pro Bowl year or whatever, they can just say, well, we took a chance on Mayfield because that's who was there, who was available. We couldn't pass up an awesome defensive line of Chubb and Garrett. We just couldn't do that. And I think the fans would understand. But if they take Mayfield at number one and Chubb's not there, and then what? Or there's another couple big defenders. Like, you don't know who's going to be taken above you. But by losing that number one value, you're just going to get your top guy is going to be in that fourth spot, because I don't think any of these quarterbacks are worth an overall number one. So
you bring up an excellent point, though, with that. I think there is a big part of gamesmanship by not going quarterback at one, because then you have all those other pieces in place for the four spot. So even if there is some juggling there, they could still potentially end up with another quality player. Because if it's going to be quarterback heavy, you could potentially take Barkley at one. And I think Chubb would probably still be there at four. I think the other team's needs are going to be a lot higher pressing quarterback, that you're going to see the trades that he could still be there at four, and it wouldn't hurt him if that's a guy that they were looking at.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because Barkley's up there. You could do any of the following. As long as you don't go quarterback number one, you're going to get one of those outstanding guys. You're either going to get a great running back, a great defensive end. I think there's a big tackle. Is it a tackle from Alabama? Someone else real high too. Like, you're hedging your bets, because the number two and three teams are not going to take both quarterbacks. They're just not. And if they do, then you have another great cornerstone piece for your team, because you're just going to be in a better situation all around. So, I don't know. We're going to definitely be having an NFL draft show next week where we can recap. I'm probably going to do some other shows on it this week as it happens. So keep an eye out on our Twitter. Follow us, Southbound Sports, on Facebook and Instagram, Southbound Sports, and we'll be doing that. Right now, let's get to the Penguins. On Sunday, they eliminated the Flyers in Game 6. I'll be honest. I was hoping Game 5 was the clincher, because, number one, I hate playing the Flyers. They're physical, not in a good way in the playoffs, because if this was the first year of a Penguins run, it wouldn't matter. I would have loved a physical series. But every game in this series was sort of a blowout, realistically, until Game 5. Was it Game 5? Yeah, Game 5 was the one where Pittsburgh had a one-goal lead. They give up the shorthand goal at the end of the second period. Brutal. A backbreaker. As soon as that came up, I knew the Penguins were going to lose, because they kind of let the Flyers get the momentum. You can't give up a shorthand goal. The life was sucked out of the Flyers. There was really no life in them. After they got demolished at home, was it Game 4 or whatever, that whole stadium was dead. I did like them winning it on Philadelphia's home ice, just because of all the celebrating Philadelphia has got to do. It was good seeing them throw beer cans on the ice and pout a little bit. That was good as a fan. But other than that, it was a rough first round series. That's all I can say on that. I'm hoping, well, last week my Columbus matchup was a little premature, as Washington dispatched them after the hot Blue Jackets start. So Pittsburgh will play the Capitals for, what is it, the third year in a row in the second round? It's been a streak like that, and Pittsburgh has won every time, of course, because they're defending two-time Stanley Cup Finals champions. So looking at it, you're going to get another physical game. They have Ovechkin. He's going to get his hits in. And it's just going to be one of those years. It's not going to work out where the Penguins are going to get an easy path to the finals. I didn't see what the Boston's in a Game 7, right? Is that all going on tonight? Yeah. So that's going to be
tomorrow.
That's going to be the one where the only chance Penguins have to face a lower seed is if Toronto can win that Game 7 and then beat Tampa Bay, or vice versa. I think
they have to play Tampa Bay.
Yeah. So Penguins right now are looking like they're going to play the Capitals, which is going to be a hard-hitting series, and then play one of the top teams in the East to even get to the finals again. On the West, man, Winnipeg has been playing lights out. I don't know if it was just because they matched up so well with the Wild, because sometimes hockey matchups play more of a key thing than getting hot or whatever. But they've looked like they could be a big team killer. So watch for that Nashville series. I think that right now, other than Pittsburgh, Washington, just because of the history, if I was going to give a series to watch in the second round, that would be it. Winnipeg, Nashville, I know I joked and I said Winnipeg. I wanted them to make it so the Penguins could beat a Canadian team in the finals because that would be funny. They're looking good, so maybe I don't want them to play us. That's all I'm saying on that. Matt, you're laughing. You have anything to add?
No, I think on that side of the bracket, I just genuinely believe it's the Penguins of the West. It's Vegas that's going to clean house, and that'll be who we have to play. Gold versus gold.
Well, the Vegas, I mean, they both swept, them and the Sharks. So I really can't put it past the Sharks because, as I mentioned last week, the Ducks are known chokers. So are the Sharks even any good? Vegas could tear through them and then let Nashville and Winnipeg beat each other up. And then, like you said, just sit there. It's for the taking. They could have the easier path. I don't know. Now, because they both swept, both teams are going to be fresh. What are they able to bring into that round? It's another intriguing one. But you're right. It's looking like Vegas is going to be playing in the Western Finals. I don't want to knock the Sharks because they were in the Stanley Cup Finals against Pittsburgh the first time. It's just something that I think right now, can you go against Vegas? No. Rick, what are your thoughts? I know you're a big hockey guy.
Yeah, I think the Vegas Sharks series is going to go seven. I just think it's going to be good physical hockey. It's going to be good goaltending out of Fleury versus Jones. Two guys are seasoned playoff veterans and everything. So I really like that series, and I hope it does go long just to tire those two teams out. So I like the Penguins matchup with Capitals. They don't have as much offensive firepower as they did last year. I like last year's roster better than this year's. I mean, the Penguins haven't really had troubles with Columbus ever in the playoffs. So, I mean, I still see them winning. My pick is Penguins on five. I'll stay with that pick just because I don't like the Capitals. I don't think they have a good enough roster. If Malkin's back and healthy, I don't see any reason why the Penguins don't win in five. I just think they have too much firepower for the Capitals. Now, I am afraid of Tampa. It's so they would end up winning this series, then face Tampa. I like Tampa more than Pittsburgh right now. I want to see what they do in the next series. But Tampa has a lot of offensive weapons, a lot of guys that could put the puck in the back of the net. That's going to be Penguins' big matchup. Not so much the Capitals. It'll be the Lightning. So I'd rather face whoever, Toronto or Boston. And I hope that series does go seven, but I could see Tampa getting done with them pretty quickly, too. I'm not as much. I think Toronto has the better team. Boston does have the home ice, and Vegas is favoring them right now. So, I don't know. I will wait and see. I don't know. I mean, you could say Marchment's a good player. I mean, Rask did have a good season, but Anderson had a great season for Toronto. It's just not getting any herald or anything along those lines. He had 41 wins. I mean, guy had a great season. So I like Toronto. I hope it'll probably be a good game, but I'm hoping they win. So.
Yeah, that
I just don't like playing
series.
In Boston. I don't like playing there. Seems like a home field advantage there.
We don't want to play Boston. And I mean, Tampa Bay, you're gonna have to pick your poison. But with the Capitals, yeah. I don't think there's any way it's over in five. If the Phillies got it to six just based on – or the Flyers got it to six based on grit, you have to believe the Capitals are going to be able to get it to game six or seven and get a few blows in there just because of the rivalry factor. Matt, you're making a face.
I don't know. I have a tough time thinking that. I think as you're looking, and the Caps still haven't been able to capitalize on any of the last couple series. I mean, they're not holding their own, and it's almost one of those like phantom seeing shadow type deals. You know, do they have the potential? Yes. Are they going to do it? I think it's purely psychological at this point that you're going to have to go to PPG, and I don't think they can handle that pressure of knowing, well, here it is, year three in a row where we're going to lose, and they're going to go on to another cup. You know, I think that they're really going to have to overcome a lot to beat Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
that's and they have never ahead, won here. They have never won a series. I mean, really against Pittsburgh. I think they won one series in their whole history. I think it was like 95 or 6. I could be wrong on the year. But I mean, this roster is not a good roster, and they're depending upon a lot of guys who are way too old. I mean, Brooks Orpik, his good days are gone now. I mean, it's like I don't see how they have the firepower. And I don't see the thing they're going to have to defend them on is Ovechkin and Kunitsov putting tons of pucks in the back of the net. They're going to depend on two guys where the Penguins are going to say, well, Crosby's got to do it, Malkin, Kessel, Hornquist. They don't have the depth. They don't have the scorers. And I think that's the thing. I think that's what always helps out the Penguin is they have tons of scorers, and these other teams have like a couple of scorers, but not as many. And I think that's the thing that faces them. It keeps the pressure off of Murray because they were able to control the puck more too. And I don't know. I don't see it. And you talk about leadership. Ovechkin, I mean, when do you see him firing guys up? He's usually sitting at the other end of the bench waiting for the cherry pick somewhere. You don't see him much. Watch the game. You'll see him at the other end of the – watch him. He'll be at the end of the benches. He'll never move up with the line mates or anything. Watch him. It's a real weird dynamic.
They did announce the game will be Thursday. And it's in Washington, right?
I think it should be.
Yeah. So that's the
I bet
thing.
Columbus is really happy they didn't have to play us.
Well, they dodged them right before or the last game of the year. I told you they sat all those guys. So they're happy right now. They're like, yeah, we don't get to lose to the Penguins. So I hope they're happy with their choice. Anything else you guys have on the NHL stuff?
Nope.
All right, last topic. I had the NBA playoffs before we get into – I added a new one, a mailbag, which would be our final thing. But NBA playoffs, dude, LeBron got the Cavs back. They were tied that I saw. And it's looking right now, Matt, like the 76ers are right there. They're up 3-1. I think every other series in the East is tied, I believe. So it's looking like
that's
they
right.
could get done early, get some time – get Embiid healed. Some people were coming to his defense saying that he's better than Ben Simmons anyway, which can't hurt to have a good on-team little rivalry there because why not have a comparison because people used to do that kind of thing with Jordan and Pippen back in the day. So get a little on-team, like little swagger going, and you could see that happen. I did see another shout out. We don't really talk NBA that much, but I think I saw Ginobili and Parker have the most playoff wins of any duo.
Correct.
All time, I believe. So good shout out to them. They got one win against Golden State. And to be honest, a lot of people don't realize that Golden State had pretty much the same team when Tim Duncan was giving them fits and going to the finals. So it wasn't until he retired that this Golden State team took form, and then of course they recruited Kevin Durant to jump teams for them. So watch out Anthony Davis. I told you, they moved on. I don't care if they're a sixth seed. Anthony Davis is a true center that not a lot of teams in the NBA have, and that's going to be pretty much the series to watch in the West next round. Warriors versus the Pelicans. Pelicans are the dumbest mascot too. I have to add that in there. It's like a bunch of guys sitting around. They're like, what could be the least intimidating thing we could go with? How about fairies? How about pelicans? Oh, we'll go with that. Because, and then they tried to like put out a teaser. I saw, and this is completely off on a random rant, but I did see they were like, well, you didn't know pelicans eat so many fish in 1 year. I'll see if I can find it. They like try to put out a graphic saying how fearsome they were because of how many fish they eat in a year. I was like, give me a break. Pick a better team. But yeah.
Hey, how much CrossFit did you do this year? This is how many fish I ate.
Well, that's not, it just, it was like crazy that people were giving a backlash and that was their defense. Like, ha, wait till they get a load of this stat. Like they know, like, other, like, you know, a tiger is a ferocious beast. Same with, like, a lion. You don't need a body count, how many gazelles they killed in the jungles or the desert, whatever. So why would you need that to kind of qualify your pelican choice as a mascot? But Sixers, Matt, you watching the games? What are your thoughts? You nervous?
I tell you what, no, I'm not nervous. We're almost up 20 right now. I'm trusting the process like I did back in the springtime. Meek Mill got released from prison. He's at the game tonight. Philly's just greasing the poles, baby.
Greasing the poles. I still want someone to light him on fire next time. Please.
If they go to the finals, I will go out personally and light one of them on fire.
Is that the Eastern Conference Finals, or do you mean the NBA Finals? Be clear.
The NBA Finals. They make it to the finals. I will go out and find where they grease the poles, and I'll light one on fire.
All right, I'm going to hold you to that. I know we have family out there. You can find a place to stay. I don't know if they'll kick you out after that.
Absolutely. No, they'll be there with me, lighting it on fire.
You know they would not. They would not be there with you. They would be disowning you right there. They'd be like, who are you again? Cops is at our house. Rick, what are your thoughts on the NBA? You watch any NBA?
Heck no. I'm from outside Pittsburgh. I don't know what the NBA is.
Hey, there's a petition to bring an NBA team to Pittsburgh, so.
We don't need one. Trust me, we don't need one.
Yeah, you do. We could call them the Pirates.
Yeah, we already have our terrible team. We don't need another one. I mean, but here's the thing. I mean, I don't know what intrigues me to watch the NBA. Because I will say, 76ers is definitely one of the stories. In San Antonio, you may have Ginobili and Parker. This could be the last year. This could be their last run. But if you find that 2K game where the guy simulates it, man, Ginobili's still playing at 61 years old. So look up, there's a story. The guy simulated this year's 2K game, and he kept simulating seasons, and somehow Manny Ginobili doesn't retire at the age of 61.
He probably becomes a player coach like Derek Fisher.
Yeah. Here's the thing, too. I mean, like, how many times do we got to see LeBron trade away half the team and get rid of him? I mean, but here's the thing, too. I mean, the NBA's marketed themselves around 4 or 5 stars. So, I mean, with Philadelphia winning actually screws them up because they've only built themselves around LeBron, D-Wade, Durant, Curry. It throws them off a little bit. That's also why I'm cheering for the Timberwolves, because I don't know a guy on that roster right now. I'm like, Kevin Garnett's not playing. Stephen Marbury's in China last time I checked out. I mean, I will cheer for them because there is nobody on that roster.
They have one of the Kentucky guys, don't they? Towns? Is it Towns?
Towns is on the roster, yeah.
Yeah, just pay attention to whoever Kentucky has in the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament before they get bounced. And then you'll know who's going to be on the NBA rosters the next year.
Pretty much, yeah, on the terrible teams like Minnesota, Phoenix, you know.
The Bucks.
Yeah, the ones that screw up.
The Bucks pretty much built their team off that, didn't they?
Yeah, they have like 2 or 3 guys.
I'm surprised that Celtics are playing with them right now. I thought that with the injuries that they had, that the Bucks would run them off the court. But Boston's making that a competitive series.
I'll tell you why. Boston has the best coach in the NBA and college basketball. They have Brad Stevens. He was the guy that got Butler with the back-to-back NCAA national championships.
Yes.
Is that what he did? Or Final Fours? That's basically
back-to-back Final Fours.
That's the whole story. And there are rumors that if Coach K retires, Stevens will leave the Celtics and go to Duke. And I think it would be all over because Duke then would become an actual powerhouse where they don't get bounced, because he's made the adjustments with them having 2 or 3 stars down. It's unbelievable. I was with you, Matt. I thought Celtics were done. That's who.
And they're leading the series right now, 3-2.
Yeah, I've always pulled for them. And just because of the Irish thing, no team in Pittsburgh have an Irish mascot. My Irish heritage, I just figured, you know, Celtics, go with them. Why not? And this year I thought all these injuries, just bad luck. You can't lose Kyrie. Gordon Hayward didn't even play. basically Marcus Smart was down there saying they're hoping Smart comes back, but it doesn't even matter. At this point, it's survived to the next round, and that's what really should scare teams. I would hate, to be honest, even as a Celtics fan, I would hate for a gimp Celtics team to eliminate the Sixers only to lose to LeBron and the Cavs, because I think you might be able to coach your way around a green team like the Sixers are, a young, fresh team, but you're not going to get around a team with LeBron. If LeBron is able to survive that long with his half team, he'll will a team to win. And no matter what you scheme up, you just can't scheme against one of the best guys. So I would hate to see – it's like a catch-22. The Sixers are the better story. Do I want them to beat the Celtics? In my heart, not really. But do I think the Celtics have a chance to knock off LeBron? Do I really want LeBron to go to another finals after the way he's pushed players out? No, because I don't think that's what sports are about. Sports are about fun. You should be able to have your kids watch, your family, young kids look up to these guys. And behind the scenes, if you go on Twitter, and everyone is always talking about how LeBron doesn't get along with so-and-so. And who's going to see that? Young kids. And they're going to be like, well, I don't like playing with this guy. So, mom, dad, I need to change teams, or you need to trade me to a different team. And that's basically what youth sports is going to become. It's already kind of like that with the AAU basketball circuits. You can jump teams, get recruited on other teams. Hey, I'm friends with this guy. Let's go over here. You know that's everything wrong with the sport. You know that's why the FBI is looking into it. They named Kansas. How many people have brought up Kansas' name being in there? Not that many, because they're a blue blood. And the sad thing is, Kansas, if they have been playing for paying for players, Bill Self, dude, he's as bad as Calipari. No one rips on him for having these five-star recruits and playing like ass in the NCAA tournament. Everyone goes after Calipari, calling him slimy. Why not come after Kansas? They're worse than Kentucky, if you look at it in the grand scheme of things. So that's why I really don't want to see LeBron go. And right now, a hurt Celtics team against the 76ers, right now, I wouldn't feel bad if the Celtics lost. And that's my end of my NBA rant. I'd rather have the Celtics win, but I know deep down, you're just not going to win a championship with key players hurt. You just can't in the NBA. So any other thoughts by you guys?
I just think, as far as the issues with LeBron, I think to watch him get bounced, I think I'd be curious to see where he ends up in the offseason, because there was the speculation that Simmons was trying to pull him into Philadelphia. I don't know that if you're a Philly GM, if the Sixers make a deep run, what would convince you to pay for LeBron, knowing that he's going to come in and try to take over GM like he did with the Cavs? Because I think that would get old real quick, trying to leverage how he pulled all these guys in and then it wasn't working. He's like, all right, well, now trade Kyrie and trade Wade and trade all these people away, and I'm not playing for this coach. Like, no, not happening.
I will say, if he goes there, it'd be hated enemy number one. I'm kind of actually hoping that he goes to the Lakers, because, you know, that's like the number one storyline that everyone pushes. I already hate the Lakers. So why not just have LeBron there? Because I don't think he will win there, which would make it even funnier, because everyone would be all over the Lakers jock. Kind of like when
just Kobe be him and there. Him and Lonzo.
Lonzo and their coach just is
more,
already
more of a reason to hate him.
They hired I joked about a player coach earlier. They hired Luke Walton. Why? What are his credentials? Like,
his dad played there.
That is the right answer.
Yeah, his dad played there, so they're like, yeah. If there's not a better figurehead as a coach, that's basically it, because you know he's not coaching at all. Like, don't even give me that. You just don't have no experience and you're named coach. It just doesn't make sense. So that's the perfect landing spot for him. If he goes to the Sixers, would he win a championship? I honestly think he would. I think he would get Philadelphia to the championship just because of their young core guys. And I think that, to be honest, if you're a fan, you should lose respect for his achievements, because people, if you look at it, I was thinking about it, he's kind of Peyton Manning-esque, to the point where great numbers, people consider him the greatest of all time for some things, except for what stat? Championships. Because Jordan's always going to be better, just like Montana was better. Tom Brady's better than Manning. So even though you're just looking at it, that's the comparison right now. LeBron is basically Peyton Manning, and you can view the two the same. Peyton Manning wasn't going to win another championship on his own. He jumped teams. LeBron did the same thing. He went to the Heat. He wasn't going to win a championship on his own. He knew he had to get that ring. Manning knew that he had to at least tie Eli before he retired, or no one would take him serious. So LeBron did that, won multiple chips, jumped back to Cleveland, willed them, kind of like a reverse Peyton. Peyton won the one for the Colts before moving teams. But it's similar. You win one, and then you move to win another one. And that's where you're at right now. If he moves that third time and he just starts chasing a chip, I think in 10 years' time, no one will ever consider him the greatest. He'll be a stats guy, because how many other guys in history have won a ton of championships? Or they'll be like, yeah, LeBron. It's kind of like people who look at Shaq now and Charles Barkley, and they think they're just comedians on TV. Shaq, yeah, he's that guy from the commercials. And you think I'm joking, but there are kids now that think that they didn't know Shaquille O'Neal was a trophy chaser, and he jumped a bunch of teams around his end of his career. He won one with the Heat. Didn't he win one with the Heat, I think? And then he went to the Celtics. He played with the Celtics for a while, tried to get one of the big three. Is that what LeBron's going to be? And then he'll be doing Icy Hot commercials? Because there's nowhere to go. He's getting up there. He's getting up there in minutes played. And that's what I'm going to end my part of the show with. I just would hate for him. If he stays in Cleveland, he'll kind of have the dignity that Peyton Manning had at the end of his career, where, okay, you won, you came back to the team, you moved teams to get that championship. You moved to Cleveland to win them a championship. Ride out your career, ride into the sunset. I don't care about the GMing stuff. He could even give that up, because there's really no benefit to him other than him just being more comfortable on the court. But at some point, he has to realize, like, hey, I'm not the strongest guy out there. I'm not the fastest guy anymore. I need to let other people call the shots and let me focus on just team building. If he does that and he stays, his legacy stays like Peyton Manning's. You can make your argument, whatever you want to do, for Peyton Manning being the best. LeBron will have the same stats. So, from that, but you don't want to turn into Shaq. Don't turn into Shaq. Don't be the guy from the commercials, the Icy Hot commercials, LeBron. Because that's what is going to happen. I don't think he'll do talk TV like Charles Barkley. But, yeah, that's my ending thoughts. Anything you guys want to end on this week?
I just think if you're a casual basketball fan, you got reason to watch the Sixers. From the games in this series, if they continue doing this, fundamentally they're passing the ball around well. It's good TV for a kind of a dead period. We do have the draft coming up this week, which I definitely think is going to be excellent TV to tune in for. And I'm just curious to see how things shape up following the draft.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, if the Celtics and Sixers meet that second round, you're going to see some good fundamental basketball, because I think that's the strength of both of those teams. You have young players that are learning the fundamentals in the NBA. And there's really not showboating from either team, to be honest. So, something to look for. Rick, anything from you?
Pretty much, if you haven't seen it yet, you definitely want to catch the Florida Gators mascot getting hit in the head with a foul ball. He actually protects a kid from getting hit in the head with a ball. So, look it up. It's actually on my Twitter page. So, that's one thing. And supposedly a reporter just leaked it. The pic of the Browns and deleted it. It's supposedly Darnold. It's Sam Darnold. Supposedly that's the leak. And he deleted the comment, but people have taken a picture of it. Supposedly that's the rumor. Sam Darnold could be your first overall pick. So we'll wait and see. But that's the rumor right now. So.
That's brutal. That's a disappointing end of the show. I'll try to uplift it here. I did have for High Tempo. I think I forgot to mention it. But former Steeler Lamar Woodley is opening a charter school up in, I think, Flint, Michigan. So, Michigan alum, he's a Michigan alum, but fellow Michigan alum, Jalen Rose, did the same thing in Detroit, where he's from. He's gotten a lot of good press, basically free tuition for kids that come into your school because the public schools haven't been working. And I think Lamar Woodley's doing the similar thing. So props to him for giving back to his community where he's from and trying to build it back up. We won a Super Bowl with the Steelers. So definitely ties into the show here. And I just wanted to give that a shout out. So won the show on that. Since I've missed it at the beginning, I definitely didn't want to forget to bring it up. But that's it. NFL draft stuff. Keep an eye out. Follow us, like I said, S-Bound Sports on Twitter, Southbound Sports on Facebook and Instagram. I'll be putting some of that stuff out. And have fun watching the NFL draft. We'll see you guys next week.